Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Today we have a very interesting show for you, and I am excited about this show and the next two that are coming on. I hope that you're able to attend them because the next two shows are going to be real eye-openers to what we have been aware of most of our lives. And I'm speaking of people that are aware that Black people have contributed to America in ways in which we don't get recognition. Again, another such story as that is coming today. Because we're talking about Michelle Howard, Admiral, in the United States Navy. Second highest rank that can be achieved. And as you see, as you start into the admirals, this is 4 stars. This is given to a person that can perform, not just window dressing, because as we go through her career, you will see positions of responsibility. You'll see a person that has been, that has developed the ability to communicate with others on every level. This is a far stretch from what we have been told in most of our history books throughout our lives. While we have people such as the governor of Florida that does not want to teach this, I cannot think of a single reason why we don't want to talk about the achievements of the American people. I say American people because we have full citizenship. America has not always loved us back, but we have been there for every war this country has fought in. We've fought with the principles of America in mind. We fought with the expectation that once we showed who and what we were, that we would gain this respect for ourselves, for our family, for our race, for the entire country. We see many people, I believe, who are afraid of what may happen if we were in positions of power. But what we have seen time and time again is not just pushing for something for this race. I was speaking to a lady yesterday. I went into a medical facility. I had to have my leg drained. I had a had need for that. Black lady, very intelligent Black lady. And I was talking to her about Robert Smalls. Robert Smalls was a slave in Beaufort, South Carolina. South Carolina, the state that seceded from the Union, that started the American Civil War. We have expectations, and people are believing, seriously believing, that Black people are not capable. Now, the harm to that is that this is a team sport. Citizenship and everything that is entailed with it is a team sport. When we use that, we want everybody to fulfill their position and fulfill it the best that it can be done. The best that it can be done. And we've certainly done that. When we look at Crispus Attucks, the first person to lose his life in the American Revolutionary War, where we were fighting for freedom from taxation without representation, when we were fighting for independence from the United Kingdom, was not a man of European extraction. In fact, many of the people that were here were in support of England. Not everybody was against England. And this is why when we talk about Paul Revere riding through the country, the British are coming. Many of them considered themselves to be British. And we fall for this. It is ridiculous on its face. But that's what we've been told. That's what we believe. When we look at people like James Armistead Lafayette, and these posts are on AmazingBlackHistory.com, there's a search bar. Look them up. When you listen to me, check the information that I give you. Most of you, I hopefully, will agree with me. Some of you may not. But this is an opportunity for us to talk, to discuss problems. The reason that we have the issue of race today is because there is so much misinformation, so much omitted information, and I think omitted information, there may be a reason that it is omitted. When we go back to the days of slavery, we look at what it took for a nation to enslave an entire race of people. One, you had to believe that they were inferior to you, that they couldn't do what you did. We have the same governor of Florida at this point saying that slavery was a good thing because some of them learned crafts. Let me tell you, folks, that is the most ridiculous statement that I've heard. Yes, there were a few that learned crafts while they were in slavery, but there were more that brought with them skills that they had used in Africa. Africa is not all jungles, people running around half naked and doing nothing. We find the early Greeks, the early Romans, sent their students to Africa for education. Sent their students to Africa education. Because we had places like Timbuktu and others. And what we have to do is we have to come over here to America and dehumanize in order to justify slavery. That's all it was. We had rich people that were doing this in order to become richer. And sometimes that connection is painful. We have people that believe that there are only two types of people in America, slave owners, enslaved people. That's not true. And as we go through our history, the next 2 weeks are going to be dynamite in terms of showing what we're capable of doing. Not that this is chopped liver or anything, because Michelle Howard earned every position that she was in. She performed admirably in each of those positions and earned the next position in line. As you look at the post, I want you to watch the videos. You see a very confident person, not cocky, a very confident person, willing to serve her country. And so many others have been willing to do this. And what have we done? We have, in fact, killed people, hanged them, lynched them, for wearing a U.S. military uniform. I know this is hard to take for some of you, but it's happened. Just as you don't know the accomplishments of many of the people that we talk about, you don't know what many of them went through. We can talk about accomplishments, and there are many. The next 2 weeks, you're going to be amazed. But we also, in that same hole, don't see the struggle that these people went through in order to fight for America. When we go back to Robert Smalls, the Confederates did not believe. They drank their own Kool-Aid. They did not believe that black people had enough intelligence to do what they were doing. They actually believed it. And there are people today that believe the myths that are continually being thrust upon us. At one time, it was a popular held belief that black people couldn't play basketball because they didn't have the intelligence to dribble down the floor and make a play. It was beyond their capabilities. Now, when we turn on a game, what do we see? We see that many people said that it would be that no white man would take an order from a black man. We look at football. We look at Doug Williams, who stood that stereotype on its head when he won. Before, Doug Williams played with Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And as a starting and winning quarterback, he was paid less than most of the backups, white backups for other teams. We find this, and you'll see this again next week in the most amazing post that I'm excited to bring to you. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what happens. This is why this program is not just for the adults that are listening. It's for our children. And I'm not just talking about black children. I'm talking about any and all children. I'm talking about any and all genders, because it shows what is there. When I look at a person, I look for three things. I look for their heart, their mind, their soul. The other stuff is just window dressing. Window dressing. And we allow that in so many times to be more important than the heart, the mind, or the soul of these people. People who are willing to put themselves on the line, as Michelle Howard did. She was in combat. She commanded combat ships. And yet and still, most of us don't know about her. That's what I find embarrassing. It may be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes to go through classes and learn. But there are other things that I learned. And we want to take them out of the classroom. Or some people want to take them out of the classroom. Not me. I think we need to be prepared. I believe that knowledge is power. Knowledge is empowerment. Because when we go down in someone's basement, we don't turn the lights off, believing that if there's anything down there that we can trip over, or even supernatural, that we're going to get rid of them by not seeing them. That's foolish. It's foolish. What we do is turn on the light, the knowledge that's there. Otherwise, we may bump our heads, we may bark our shins, we may step on a nail, we may do anything because we do not know. And when you begin to make that connection as to what's taking place now, you'll see that we're walking in a minefield, and we don't know where we're stepping. You can walk through a minefield if you know where the mines are, if you know what trips them off. You can later come back and disarm them, disarm what could kill you if you didn't know about it. And this is what we do. We shine that light. We shine it in all directions. Now, I'm going to give you a phone number because many of you are connected through your devices, and it may include a cell phone. And on that cell phone, you're connected through Wi-Fi or whatever. I cannot see you unless you call in on a phone. There is a phone number, and I'll give it to you. Hopefully, I'll give it to you several times. I sometimes get so excited that I forget to give it to you. This is why I ask you to write it down, put it in your phone or whatever, because when that moment comes that you want to ask a question, you want to make a comment, you want to agree, you want to disagree. And we can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. We don't have to go into the gutter for our language. We can communicate. We're human. We're adult. We have children, hopefully, that are listening, because that's what inspires them to move on. When we look at the 2 weeks from now, we see a person who benefited from being around people like she wanted to and did become. We don't hide knowledge from people. We do not hide knowledge from people. Yeah, there are some things that probably need to be secret for a while for specific and strategic reasons. But this is not one of them. This is not one of them. So as we look, and that number is 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. You can learn, you can listen to the show on that number. Maybe a little bit inconvenient. You don't have to do it now. But at the time when we open the microphones and I see who you are, then that's when it's very important. But you can get on now. You can do that. You can be ready. You can be prepared. The reason that I don't have them open all the time is because we sometimes get background and extraneous noise coming in because people don't often mute their phones. Muting the phone means that I can't hear what's coming through as a courtesy to the audience. But you can mute your phone and listen. And we don't hear the dog in the background. We don't hear the train going by. We don't hear the industrial noises and many of the other things. But let's go back to Michelle Howard. Many times we have been brought up that military service only involves males, male names. And so we see Michelle. Michelle is a woman. I'm reading a different book where I'm talking about Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. And there is a gentleman in the book by the name of Beverly. When I go to Prescott, Arizona, there's a gentleman by the name of Charlotte. At times, names have changed. They're not important from that standpoint. But we see sometimes what we consider to be female names to have been used for male names. One of the most famous black men in the military was Doris Miller, D-O-R-I-S, Doris Miller, who was called Dory Miller. And we will talk about him in the future sometimes because these are important people. We're not exposed to them. I am embarrassed to find out that as a native of Spartanburg, South Carolina, a military base is going to be named after a man that was stationed here. Spartanburg asks if they're ashamed of that fact. There are aspects of it that they should be ashamed of. And that shame should go to the fact that while these men of the 369, the Harlem Hellfighters, were willing to die for this country, the mayor of Spartanburg wrote the War Department a letter and says, if anything happens, we're not going to lift a finger to help these people. Why? Because of the color of their skin. That shows you how deep racial resentment goes. What did that unit do when they went into war? They fought longer than any other unit, not any other black unit. 191 days of continuous combat, and yet they never, never lost an inch of ground. The Americans were mad at the French because they fought with the French. Why were they mad? Because the French gave them honors. Honors! And the white soldiers said, you can't do that. You can't honor these people. I don't care if their actions are honorable. Do not honor them because they'll come back expecting full citizenship. Did you hear what I just said? They will come back expecting full citizenship. Tell me in that statement what disqualifies them from full citizenship. Being willing to put your life on the line for your country, for your fellow countrymen, don't see it there. And we're going to talk about him. But the embarrassment comes from that man being stationed in my hometown and nobody knowing it, let alone me. There is a plaque to him. And I bet those of you that are in or have visited Spartanburg have passed it 100 times and never noticed it. 100 times and never noticed it. I'm going to tell you where it is. I'm going to tell you exactly where it is. And I want you to go and look at it and see what your comments are. In order to see it, you know where Westgate Mall is. It's at the corner of Highway 29 and Blackstock Road. Across the street from there is a Long John Silver's. You have to park in the parking lot of Long John Silver's. Walk through the bushes towards Highway 29. And while you're in the trees, camouflaged, you'll see it. Is that what we do to heroes of America? I don't think so. And this is why it's necessary to talk about this. Because from the standpoint of being black, we don't know those things that we should be taking pride in. From the standpoint of white people, not knowing what we have done, you are left with the stereotypes that says that we cannot make decisions for ourselves. We cannot be motivated. All we can do is sit around and pick Moss's cotton. We didn't bring no skills here. We didn't bring no this. We didn't do that. And we look at each other with contempt. There are white people that are carrying a burden that they don't need to. Because the slave owners were few in number comparatively. Less than 2% owned a number of slaves to do anything important. There were poor whites in this country. Listen to me. There were poor whites in this country, always have been. And what do? We pit them against the black people. We pit the black people against the poor white people when they should be an alliance there. And if we understood this, I think that's what scares. Robert Smalls stole the Confederate ship, the Planter, sailed it out of Charleston Harbor, and it wasn't easy to do because it was more than just sailing out. You had to go to different checkpoints, perform a call and answer, get permission to proceed to the next checkpoint, et cetera, et cetera. I think there were 4 or 5 of these checkpoints. Robert Smalls was smart enough. He put on the uniform of the captain. They could see silhouettes because it was at night. He passed with flying colors and got out of the state, turned that ship over to the United States Navy, became a captain in the United States Navy, and went into the legislature of South Carolina and also the nation. And what did he push for? Public schools for all people. We don't just go in and do things for ourselves. We do things for all people, all people. And yet and still, she was born and raised in South Carolina and did not know the story of Robert Smalls. Don't feel embarrassed if you don't know, because we weren't told. Even our teachers were not taught, otherwise they would have taught us. It is a mystery how we can have certain things disappear from history that are noteworthy. Let me tell you a little bit about Michelle Howard. And I'm going to go back to my post. She was born in April 30th of 1960 and graduated from Great Gateway High School in Aurora, Colorado. She entered the United States Naval Academy. That's Annapolis. And where most of our, or many of our top Navy people are trained. She graduated in 1982 with her Bachelor of Science degree. She also attended the United States Army Command and General Staff Colleges and graduated in 1998 with a Master of Military Science. So we see a person that's capable academically. Excuse me. And she moved on from there. Because it's one thing to achieve success academically, but you have to put it in practice. There are many people that can do the academic work that cannot do the practical work. So when we look at this woman, she has a number of firsts to her credit. She was the first black woman to command a United States Navy combat ship, the USS Rushmore. And she did this in 1999. You know, we're 24 years away. And you would think that somehow she would be better known. But no, we've got other things that we want to talk about. She was the first woman promoted to the rank of four-star admiral, and she did this in 2014. 9 years ago. That's a high rank, and we should know about it. And she served as the vice commander of naval operations from 2014 to 2016. And the Navy and functions as the principal deputy of the chief of naval operations. And by statute, the vice chief is appointed a four-star admiral. Now, four-star admiral is a position of which there are not many of. I think there's a statute. I think there's a law that limits how many can you have. Now, you don't put window dressing up there. There are many other positions that you could do it, but they did not do it in this case. This is a performance-based, merit-based system that she maneuvered her way through, and she did it, and we don't know about it. These are things that could inspire our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. They can inspire people for generations. We have people that are being inspired by George Washington, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and others from two centuries ago. Why not do it? It doesn't just inspire black people. It inspires all people. When Jackie Robinson was playing baseball, there were even white kids saying, well, I'm Jackie Robinson. What is wrong with that? If it inspires and moves the game forward, moves life forward, moves achievement forward, moves science forward, what is wrong with it? If it moves the ability to negotiate rather than go to war, a reality Is there anything that you can see wrong with that? She served in the Navy for 35 years and was the first woman to achieve the rank of four-star, which we've talked about, and appointed to the Vice Admiral, which is next to the Admiral, the high command of the Navy. And she was the first to command a ship, a combat ship in Indonesia. The tsunami, relief, Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom. She was thrust into the international spotlight in 2009. Leading the counter-piracy task force and rescued the civilian Captain Richard Phillips. Some of you have seen the film and may not have been aware of the position that she paid. Go back, watch that. Go back with the knowledge that you now have. And she focused on the cyber domain and associated issues in strategy and policy. She's a former visiting professor of the Elliott School of International Affairs at George Washington University. You don't just put anybody in there. You put a very qualified person there. She's a very capable speaker. When you get to the videos, you will see her skills, her ability to connect with her audience, to give information. This is the person that we should be talking about and finally got around to it. She has had led sailors and Marines multiple times in the career as the commander of a ship, an expeditionary task force, and naval theater. This culmination in her final post as commander of the U.S. Naval Forces Europe, U.S. Naval Forces Africa, which she simultaneously led NATO, while she simultaneously led NATO's Allied Joint Force Command Naples, with oversight of missions from the Western Balkans, Iraq. Admiral Howard is a graduate of the Naval Academy and the U.S. Command, which we spoke about earlier. But I want you to see that when people are given the opportunity, some will rise, and it's not always on the basis of gender. It's not always on the basis of race. What we are looking for is the best of the best, and we certainly qualify for consideration of the opportunity, always have and always will. But this is an outstanding person. Now let me switch over, talk about something that I feel is a slap in the face of four-star Admiral Michelle Howard. One of the first ships that she commanded was the USS, U.S. sailing ship, Hunley. That should almost chill your blood right there, the Hunley. How many of you know what the Hunley is? We have put black people to war under circumstances where their base, their home base, is honoring people that did not want them to have the opportunity, that did not want them to ever have a free breath of air. What am I talking about? Right now, we're in the process of changing the name of many military bases that honored Confederate generals. Confederate generals. Let me tell you what this involves. John Bell Hood, for whom Fort Hood is named, the third largest military installation that we have, was a United States graduate of West Point, United States Army. In order to become a Confederate general, he had to resign his America commission, that's American commission, take off his American uniform, lay down his American arms, swear allegiance to a foreign country. We want to talk about the Confederacy as if it were part of America. It used to be, and it is again. But when William Henry Gist signed the secession order, taking South Carolina out of the United States, joined by ten other states, and formed their own government. When we separated from England, what did we do? We established a constitution. We elected a president. We elected a vice president. They did that. And yet and still, we send black soldiers to bases named after the enemy. The enemy. The pertinent point in Admiral Howard's career is that the Hunley was a Confederate submarine, the first to sink a United States naval ship, the Hunley, in the Charleston Harbor. History is history, but it needs to be fairly represented and fairly discussed. To those of you in the Charleston area and those that may want to go to the Charleston area, in North Charleston, they had recovered the Hunley, this Confederate ship. The crew was still aboard. They perished on that. In fact, the Hunley lost three crews. And they have had a ceremony honoring those sailors. Nothing wrong with that. But we have to understand, they were fighting for a foreign country. They were fighting for slavery. They were fighting to preserve the riches of the few. Those people that had hundreds and thousands of acres of land and were making a fortune off of enslaved people that they were not paying, that they were not feeding properly, that they were not housing properly. Anything for the almighty dollar. When we went into war, New York actually considered joining the Confederacy because so much of the product was being shipped out of New York. They do not have clean hands. New England was building ships for what? To go to Africa and bring slaves over here. They were being rewarded handsomely. They were making clothes. They were making shoes. The value of the slaves in the South was worth more than all of the factories and railroads in the North. All of them. And were responsible for over 50% of the entire gross national product of this country. But the treatment of the slaves was horrible at best. You were chattel property. If your owner decided to chop off your foot, yeah, big deal. It's your property. You can do with it. Hopefully today we have changed some of our thinking and we see people as human beings, not as property, not as a source of getting rich. Compare that to Michelle Howard. And when she is given a ship to command, it is named after a ship where three crews lost their life trying to ensure that black people never took a free breath of air in their entire life. They want to tell you that the Civil War was over states' rights. Well, why then did Mississippi want to sue New York? Because New York said no slavery here. And the Mississippians said, I want to bring my slaves into your state. Yeah. When you can change things around to your favor, you're for it. Actual fact be damned. This is what we see, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we're up against. When we are watching in our country a division over wealth, a division over wealth. We had black people that owned slaves, but let us look at why they owned them. If you were a free black person, you could be sent and sold into slavery just because of somebody's word. The justice system did not accept a black person's word against a white person. This is why a few years ago we had the movie 12 Years a Slave. Solomon Northup was a free man, had been free all of his life, was captured and put into slavery because two people wanted to make money off of him. He couldn't go to court and testify because he was black. He finally got word out, and they came down and testified in his favor and got his freedom. We see cases like, and I'm not sure the name of the lady. I keep wanting to call her Carrie House, but I think it was a different name. She was freed. She was in free territory. They concocted a story to get her to cross the Ohio River. And as soon as she touched foot in slave territory, she was captured and re-enslaved. She sued and won reparations. They don't want you to know that. Reparations have been paid. When we interned the Japanese in the internment camps, merely because their ancestors were from Japan, they were compensated. Reparations were given. It scares the bejesus out of people now. We get to a point where we have been denied an education. We have been denied opportunities because we could not build wealth. If we bought houses, we couldn't get bank financing. We could get more money to buy a car, which depreciates, than a house, which appreciates. We couldn't get money to fix it. And then they talk about, well, look at the houses that they live in. It was concocted by the federal government. When we see soldiers coming back and being able to join the middle class because they were able to have home ownership, let's look at Mississippi. Over 2,000 white soldiers were able to gain homes, and I have no problem with that. But when we compare it to the number of black soldiers that were able to use that same bill, and here's how that happened. They put control of that under local jurisdiction. Local jurisdiction. We sometimes sit around as if we don't make a difference. Local jurisdiction gave two houses, or two blacks, the opportunity to own houses. Over 2,000 whites, only two black people. One, two, not 200, not 20, just two. These are positions taken by the United States government, by our state governments, by our local governments. We sit around and wait for our leaders to show up. That is ridiculous. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you who our leaders are. Our leaders are listening to my voice right now. We're waiting for somebody to show up in shining armor and a white horse, and we're listening. And we are those people. We need to get involved, and we need to get involved now. City Council in Spartanburg, I had a discussion about this just before coming on here, is putting a manufacturing plant in what used to be the old Hartness Bottling Works, the old Pepsi Bottling Works on South Church Street. Isn't there a better place to locate that? We look at what happened in Arkwright. They came in and polluted an entire community for the almighty dollar. We look at today, we have a black mayor, but I don't know how much the black mayor knows about black history. And that's one of the faults. That's one of the reasons that we need to know. That's one of the reasons that you need to know. That's one of the reasons that all of us need to know, so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. Michelle Howard is a leading example of what we can do. Michelle Howard is a great, great example of what is possible only given the opportunity. I see our children today, and yes, there are things about them that disturb me greatly, because our expectations of what they can do from our parents on up, I think we've missed the boat, folks. We should expect more, and we will get more. Expect more, and we will get more. Michelle Howard's parents expected more from her. And what happened? Not only did her parents get more, she got more. And everyone listening to the sound of my voice got more. This is what makes a country great. Yes, kids can play. They should play. It is an opportunity to exercise your imagination. Exercise your imagination. Look for problems. Solve problems. That's what we do. And we do it so well. When you listen to the next 2 weeks of this program, I dare you to say that your chest isn't sticking out a little bit further, because I've got some amazing news. This is great. This is what excites me. This is what pumps me up. This is what keeps me from giving out that number, because I get so excited. Let me give it out while I'm thinking about it. Those of you, because we're coming up towards the end of the program, this is the opportunity for you to make comments, make suggestions. You can agree. You can disagree. We can have that discussion. The reason that we are in such a horrible shape now with respect to race is we don't know how to talk about it. We are afraid to bring it up. When I worked in a primarily white environment, I had people that didn't know how to speak to me. And that sounds foolish, but they didn't know. They didn't know what they could and what they couldn't say. We walk around on eggshells because we don't know what to say. Am I going to offend a person? I say, with sincerity, get to know a person. I have friends that I have from 50 years ago. We started with awkward conversations, but we started with conversations. This is a subject that needs to be talked about. Or what we're going to do is one of the cruelest things that we can do, and that is to kick the can down the road. We're going to dump a problem on our children and our children's children that can be solved today. It can be solved by knowing what we're capable of, what people on the team are capable of. If you had a game of football and you didn't know that your left tackle was one of the best around, the best in the league, the best of the greatest of all times, you're not going to take advantage of that. And that is one of the most skilled positions on the field. We sometimes don't think about it. You think that, okay, I just got a body over there. But when you realize the talent that that body has, and you can utilize that, then you begin to understand, hey, we can move. When we look at the 369 and we see that these people never gave up an inch of ground. All they wanted was respect. Respect. We did everything that we could In those days, in order to boost morale, every unit had a band. What did the 369th do when they went to Europe? They introduced jazz. There were people over there thought they were using fake instruments because they didn't know that instruments could sound like that. They still love it today. I want to bring up a personal hero of mine because I know his family, and that is Corporal Freddie Stowers, S-T-O-W-E-R-S. When I heard this name, I was so excited I couldn't wait to get to a computer to look it up, but I was misspelling it. And sometimes we do that. We look at the way things sound. I was spelling S-A-U-E-R-S, like the Spice and like people that I knew in Washington State, but it was S-T-O-W-E-R-S. Corporal Freddie Stowers was the first person to earn the Medal of Honor in World War I. The first black soldier to earn the Medal of Honor in World War I. Wasn't given to him because of a quota. It wasn't given to him because of anything. We need to name a base after him. But I have talked to his great niece, and her mother, who has a book out, incidentally, about this story. You can order it. If you have questions about ordering it, call me. Email me. I'll give you information on how to do that. There's a statue of him in Anderson, which is near Sandy Springs, South Carolina. This is what we have done, and we have done it from the very beginning. We are capable. We are more than capable. More than capable. So there are people out there that are well deserving of any and every honor that can be given. When you look back, and some of us are afraid to do our genealogy, because we think that all we're going to find is a bunch of slaves. When we look at people like Harriet Jacobs, who is Harriet Jacobs? We know about Anne Frank, who spent years in the attic of a home trying to get away from the Nazis. But Harriet Jacobs spent 7 years in the attic of a home in Eatington, North Carolina. Eatington, North Carolina, here in the United States of America. And the state of North Carolina has authenticated the fact that she wrote this book. It's called, I believe the title is Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl, written by herself, which was a common way of identifying yourself. The most contact that she had with the outside during the daytime was to be able to look between a crack between the house and the roof where she was and see her kids playing. Why was she hiding? Because she did not want to be assaulted by her white owner again. And this happens. We have people that are professing to be Christians, and yet and still they are disavowing the vow that they made before God to be faithful to their wife. And yet they sit with piety in the pews. They take God's creatures, human beings, and subject them to the cruelest punishment possible. But they are Christian. They want to convert people to Christianity, but do it over there, not here. To me, that is the very definition of hypocrisy. We have to get over it. Is it the most comfortable thing that you can think about doing? No. Do you think Michelle Howard was, well, I'm sure that she was happy to be in command of a ship, but the Hunley, the ship whose crew perished trying to make sure that she and everybody that looked like her never took a free breath of air. We look at our nation's capital, built by skilled black labor. Michelle Obama makes mention of it. And you would think that she had done something afoul besides speaking the truth. We come over here, we look at people like Horace King. Horace King was a slave, but was given his freedom because he was the only one capable of building bridges across the Chattahoochee Valley. The law had to be changed to allow him to remain, because as a slave, when you were freed, you generally had 1 year to get out of the state in which you were. They didn't want the enslaved to see what it was like to be free. They didn't want that poison in their system. Your loved ones, your wife, your children, you had to leave them in order to become free. And then how truly free were you? Because in 1850 we passed a slave law that said, if you, Mr. White person, does not help me catch the person I claim is my slave, you are guilty of a crime. Guilty of a crime. And we have more people that are guilty of that crime than we do of the slave ownership. But yet and still we have people that really don't want to look into that because of fear that they may be attached to a slave owner. I wouldn't want to be attached to a slave owner, but guess what? I am, through no fault of my own. I can't hold you responsible for slavery before you were even born. What could you have done about it? But what I can do, and what I do, is hold you responsible for what you know now. Is that why you're afraid to learn the truth? Be honest with me. Above all, be honest with yourself. Is that why you don't want to know about it? Is there anything in the discussions that we have been having that you can see where it is wrong for anybody to know about the history that we're talking about today? If you do, 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. Write it down. Put it in your phone. Any other programs that we broadcast on Crown Talking Drums, you can access us, the host, in this manner. We can see you. We can see that you're there. We can open the microphone. We can allow you to talk to the audience that we have. And this audience is around the world. Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, Eastern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere. You would be surprised the range that this little station gets. And we haven't done much in the way of publicity, but that's why I ask you, let's expand our base. I challenge you to let at least three people know about this every week, three different people every week, because this is information that is vital to our continued existence and excellence in the world. If you need business cards, contact me. I've got them. I'll give them to you. There's a QR code on it so that you can get to the information. Our adults need this information so they can pass it to their children. Their children need this information so that they can ask questions, so that they can grow up and know who they are. The Bible talks about who begot who and who begot whom. When we came here, we had people intent on making sure that black people did not know their history. When we look at Cotton Mather and a slave that he owned by the name of Onesimus, who introduced the concept of vaccination into America in the 1500s, because it was a practice taking place in Africa. Does this sound like some half-naked, stupid person running around in the jungle? No, that's science. We still use it today, and it's saving lives by the ton. Hundreds, thousands, millions of people over the years. We've been able to eradicate polio. We've been able to eradicate other diseases with, in part, the knowledge that has come from Africa. The early Greeks, the early Romans, sent their best to Africa to learn. There are thousands upon thousands of manuscripts in Timbuktu that have never been deciphered to this day, never been translated. This is important, folks. We take the best from the best when we look at our Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled. We neglect the line above it that says, you keep your best. We want people to come here who want opportunity. And what do? We spend much of our time trying to suppress some of the greatest that have ever walked on American soil. That's what we do. That's what the governor of Florida is doing. Don't teach the good stuff. Let us keep our lies and myths alive. Let's keep people suppressed. We don't need them. I want you to answer this question after listening to the next 2 weeks. And I want you to answer this question. I want you to call in and tell me whether you believe that that is the best policy or not. I challenge you to do it. Those of you that are listening by way of your device, make a few minutes on the third week, 3 weeks from now, to call in and let me know what you think of this program and the next two. I want you to get that word out. I want you to express that word. I see that I have work to do. I'm sending some cards out to my good friend Tony, my nephew Tony. I'm going to give some to my good friend Marshall, who we'll hear from in just a few minutes, I hope. He is on. I see him. And this is how I know that he is there, because I can see him. I see another family member that's on, so shy at times, but I hope builds up the courage to come on. Brilliant mind, but is sometimes, like many of us, reluctant to share those thoughts, that wisdom that comes up. Very deep thinker, and has seen some things, and has seen beneficial things that we need to share. We cannot hide in the corners. We cannot hide in the dark and be a full benefit. When I talked about leaders stepping forth, let this be your first step. Let this be your first step on communicating. Do you think that Michelle Howard went through her life without criticism? She's human. She's going to get it. Do you think it only came from white people? No. Let's be real. It comes from everywhere. But I think, and I think a lot of people think, that she is basically a walking miracle. She did what she did, and she did it in the open. She is a leader. When we look at what is taking place in Spartanburg, is that manufacturing plant in the best location, or is it the best for someone financially? What waste are they going to produce? In a predominantly black neighborhood, it needs to be reviewed. I don't know what it is because I haven't looked at it. I understand that they're going to be making parts. We have effluents that are coming from many of our manufacturing plants, effluents that could be eliminated We're now getting to the point where we have forever chemicals in over 50% of all of the water that we drink. What does that mean? They are not easily broken down. We're poisoning ourselves. Stick your head out the window today, next week, last week. Are we heating up this earth? Oh, no, no, no. Let me make this dollar. Oh, we ain't heating it up. Let's burn up some more gas. Let's heat it up some more. Yeah, we're losing people. I am going to open these microphones. I want to hear from you. And now is the time if you have comments, questions, suggestions, disagreements, whatever you may have. Mr. Marshall, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Abercrombie. How are we doing today?
We're doing excellent. We're on fire over here.
Great, I'm here, I'm here. You even got have me warmed up under this tree outside here. Yeah, I go outside under the shade tree and listen to you on a Sunday afternoon, and I tell you what, it is relaxing and educational. Everybody needs to try this. Because I tell you, you really gives us some information that we certainly need to know. And it's just wonderful to hear your voice and to hear and to know that you'll keep on keeping on. Because this is what eventually look like it just takes us a little longer. But eventually we're going to catch on and we're going to really, really support you. And that's what I want to. That one of the things I wanted to mention to you, on next Saturday, we'll be going to Lawrence. There is a black gentleman there. He has about 60 or 80 young men, and he is doing something for them on next Saturday, and we're going to be a part of it at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk to those young boys on ethics, Leon and myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, see, this is one of the reasons that I love Marshall and his brother, Leon. They are not spring chickens anymore, but they do it. They don't talk about it. They do it. And this is what all of us need to do, regardless of our age. We need to make that commitment. We teach one. Every good one teach two. And we can get this word out. We have nothing to be ashamed of from our African ancestry, nothing. The only thing that we have to be ashamed of is that we haven't put it out earlier. We haven't put out more of it. We allow ourselves to be buffaloed because we don't want to read the book. We want somebody to tell us what's in the book. So these gentlemen are doers of the word. You hear that? And when you go to church, be doers of the word. Talk is cheap. They ain't cheap. They are the real thing, folks, the real thing. When I talked about the cemeteries, they get out there and they get their hands dirty. They get their knees dirty. They get involved in the work. It ain't just talking about it. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we get down to it, folks. That's why I love him and his brother, and they are fantastic singers. I've been to programs and hear them, and I love to hear them sing. And they've been singing for over 75 years. How many has it been exactly, do you know?
Yes, sir. It's been 79 years.
Wow.
79 years. On last Sunday, the reason I miss you because we were – gone to some churches over in Greenville, and we did a program at 9 o'clock and did another one at 11 o'clock. And my nephew's anniversary was over at off of White Horse Road, and we visited him, surprised him at his anniversary at 3 o'clock. So we did three programs on life. And that's why I miss you, because we was out there doing the work that the Lord would have us to do. That's what we should be doing. Yes,
and
sir.
I think you've got a couple of albums on DVDs or CDs or something, don't you?
Yes, we have three DVDs and four CDs that we have, and we're about ready to come out with a new song, and it is going to be. We can't find anybody. We heard this song when we were kids. We cannot find anybody that has ever heard this song, so we're going to have to redo it. And the title of it is going to be Oh, What a Time.
Okay.
Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty, what a time. Now, that's some true saying. That's from the, it's going to be a time one day. All this mess we talking about, it's going to be a time one day.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So we're going to be coming out with that before long. We got to get together and so we can get our verses together for that song. But that's going to be the title, Oh, What a Time.
Now, if you attend any of the events where the James Brothers are, or you contact me or contact them, remember those albums because they are nostalgic. Those of you that are old enough may remember they opened for Sam Cooke when he was in Spartanburg. And that's been a long time ago. Yes, sir. And Sam Cooke was quite a singer. If you haven't heard him, listen to him too. And they opened for him, and they're still singing loud and proud, strong and bold. They give
the
message with what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
why
I love them too.
Yes. That's what we're going to do on next Saturday. While we have all those young men together, we're going to give them your name and this number that they may call you, that they may listen. We're going to talk about you. That's the thing for us to do. We should, when we hear something good, pass it on to someone else. So that's what we're going to do before all of those young men that's going to be there. We're going to pass this information on that they may listen to you and tell them where they can get additional Black history. Not just his story, but his story.
And that brings up a point. I do speak. There are those of you that are possibly listening. Yes, I do speak. I do, and on some occasions can travel. So that's not necessarily out of the picture. What we need to do is to get the truth out. The truth of who and what we are. Being hidden is not fair to white, black, yellow, red, any other people that we encounter. All of us have done great things, and we need to come together, not divide ourselves. We don't need to be making it a crime to talk about the amazing accomplishments of any American people, any. And that includes us. That includes the indigenous people. That includes the Native Americans. I hate to call them Indians because they're not from India. It's because Columbus made a mistake and thought he was in India. He didn't prove that the world was round. We knew the world was round before Columbus sailed. And when we talk about people such as the Kennewick man, and I haven't talked very much about him, but he was found on the Columbia River in Washington State. And 9,000 years ago, and did not come from the Americas. We have things to be proud of, very, very proud. And I want you to follow Marshall, his brother Leon, because like I said, they are doers. We want more doers. We want more people with a critical education that can look at information and make solid decisions. We're not just looking for a black audience. We're looking for thinkers. Once you get past the epidermis, the dermis, we are at what a person is. When you look at people like Greg McKee, and I love him dearly as well, because Greg has done a lot of research. He's done research on a man that started over 40 churches, black churches in North and South Carolina, and he puts his heart into it. And we have other people, John Thomas Fowler, who has written about Trotting Sally. If anybody goes to the Spartanburg County Library on your way out and you see a man playing a fiddle, that is Trotting Sally. And Trotting Sally was well known He was in Spartanburg down on Magnolia Street, and train was there, and he gave his hat to the conductor and said, "When you get to Inman, I will meet you and get my hat back." And he ran to Inman and was there when the train got there. Now, the train may have had to make a stop or two, but he was legendary. And John Thomas Fowler has written about him. He's done a children's book. We need to get our children involved and understand that they have history. Those of you that are looking at Barbie, you're looking at this movie, and we have the chief designer of many of her clothes is from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Hear me again. Spartanburg, South Carolina, a black woman that was the chief designer of the clothing for many of Barbie's outfits. We have nothing to be ashamed of in any area whatsoever. But we don't know it. We get into a discussion, and people think that we're dumb because we can't refute them with facts. This, ladies and gentlemen, is where you get your arms, where you get your armaments to fight those discussions, those people that think they can put you down because they know a thimble full of stuff. Dump a cup full back on them and see what happens. Yeah. That's what we do.
That's true.
Now we have another caller. I don't know if that caller has built up enough nerve to speak or not, but if you have, from 864, now is the time. If you don't want to speak, don't worry about it. We don't try to put people on spotlight when they don't want to be there. But we welcome your comments. I don't hear any clicking or anything in the background.
Okay, this is Marshall back again. One other thing that I would really like to mention, Greg McKee is going with us on next Saturday to Lawrence, because, see, that's what he do. He deals also with young men. We were going to the Juneteenth celebration some 7 or 8 years ago where Greg McKee was having the Juneteenth celebration, and he a white man. Most of us have not even heard of it. Yeah, we going to the Hollingsworth Plantation. Oh, yes, and also he is purchasing the Hollingsworth Plantation as we speak. He told me the other night.
Oh, he is?
Purchasing, yes, the 50 acres. He's purchasing the Hollingsworth farm over there in Simpsonville. One other thing I'd like to mention, Reverend Jesse Jackson, what a great part he played in African-American history when he first came out and said that I am somebody. I've seen little bitty little girls rear back and their head way up in the air saying that I am somebody. And that was something, because a lot of time I was a little kid, was told, you were not nothing. You're going to be just like your daddy. You're going to be just like your mama. You ain't going to be this. You're not going to be that. But we should not buy that. We can be. We've already proved that we can be. And that is one of the things that he always said was, I am somebody. And the other one was, keep hope alive. Now, how many times in a day that you can go and hope don't come up into your conversation and in your mind at some point in time? A lot of times, Carl, you always hoping it's going to be a better day, hoping for a better job, hoping for something, hoping that these children going to act right, hoping for something. And that was one of his words, and he is stepping down from the Rainbow Push Coalition. And we are glad to know and to say, when he ran for president in 94, I wasn't there, but in 98, when he ran, and he was waiting for the caucus to let him know, I was in the hotel in Washington, D.C., at the Washington Hilton. I was in the hotel when Reverend Jackson got the news that the caucus had used someone else for his running mate rather than call Reverend Jackson and tell him personally. He didn't find out until the caucus came out and let the world know who is a running mate would rather than call Reverend Jesse Jackson and tell him himself. I was there, Washington Hilton in 88.
You know, I think there's something to be gained by talking to people face-to-face. And
the lady
that we're going to be talking about in 2 weeks did just that. But let me tell you something that really I didn't understand in history. I thought everybody in history was long ways away. Jesse Jackson grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. Jackson knew my family from Greenville, South Carolina. He graduated from the same high school that my father graduated from, Sterling High School in Greenville, South Carolina. The person that is our leader could be your next-door neighbor. It could be you. Don't write yourself off.
That's right. My first wife.
I cut you off, Marshall. Go ahead.
Yes, my first wife, she was in the her mother was in the family with Jesse Jackson. They're also in the same family. And we're talking about Greenville. The Dixie Hummingbirds are city from Spartanburg, South Carolina. But the Dixie Hummingbird got started over at Sterling High School over there in Greenville.
Okay.
That's where they came from, Sterling High School. Then they came on Clarence Fountain with the Blind Boy. From Alabama, Mississippi, one Clarence Fountain. He was right here out of Spartanburg until his mother sent him to school, sent him off to school, and that's where, you know, he learned to sing and everything. But, yeah, he was right here in Spartanburg. Spartanburg has South Carolina has a rich singing history of people who came through here and sung gospel songs.
Yeah, the Price Hawks were from here.
Yes. Price Ox.
And to those people that don't know, what Marshall and I are talking about, they used to have cards. They would have gospel groups would go from city to city to city to city. And that included the Dixie Hummingbirds. It included Gallman Cook and I forget her first name, and other people that would go around spreading the gospel through music. And they had a huge following. A huge following.
Yes.
Anyway, anybody else want to join our conversation? We've got a little over 5 minutes left, and this is your opportunity. If you have questions, if you have comments, call this number, 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. Write it down, put it in your phone, because we come to you every week at the same time. And we encourage you to contact us. Ask us that question that you've heard for years and years and years. Maybe it's something that we can do in the future. Maybe it's something that we know about now. Maybe it's something we need to know about. Some of you have people in your family that you may not have believed as they told you stories. We find that there were many people that fought. When we fought, when I talked about the 369th, the 369th, the 370th, the 371st, many of those units that started with three were designated with a three because America didn't want to put black and white troops side by side. So they gave them numbers of 300 to 600. Some of you may have stories, heroes in your family. I was speaking to a person the other day about Waverly Woodson, who should have gotten the Medal of Honor. He was in the Normandy invasion. He was a medic. Shrapnel had wounded him seriously in the buttocks, but when he got to ground and he had to wade through that salt water, he worked for 36 straight hours saving the lives of people. He worked until he just passed out from exhaustion. He even amputated a soldier's foot, saving his life. And we don't know about him because, according to the Army, the records in our custody burned. There were stories about him in all the papers, and yet and still, when it comes to awarding something for meritorious service, they can't put it together. You may have a link that helps on that or helps on somebody else. We're not just put here for our pretty faces. We were put here and we have served. We have earned. We deserve all of these words. And like Greg McKee, like John Thomas Fowler, like other people who have invested time, energy, who understand the truth, who understand what it's worth, we need to unite, not divide. Unite. This is the time when we listen at people like Marshall and Leon, like others that we work with. They're not the only ones, but they are one of the first that I met and engaged with, and from the very first have been impressed to the max, and they continue to do action, not words, action. Let that be our motto. And as we come across other programs, hopefully we will share them with you. And if you get a chance, do some research on James Armistead Lafayette. I have a post on him on AmazingBlackHistory.com. But I have met the actor. Fantastic portrayal. He works in Williamsburg. Sometimes when we go to these museums, we need to ask them specifically about Black history. Don't be ashamed. My wife was able to operate the controls of the Wright brothers' plane at the museum in Kitty Hawk because we went at a time when there were very few people there. When you are able to talk to the people who know what's going on, the 36th Colored Infantry from the Outer Banks were part of the Massachusetts 54th, which went down to Fort Sumter and raised holy heck down there. We have been there. And some of those people are us, our relatives, our blood, our flesh. Don't ever be ashamed. It's been my pleasure to be with you, and I hope that you will invite at least three people to join us next week on Did You Know? I want you to be blessed. I want you to take pride in just being an American citizen. And let us all fight for all around, for everyone. We've got less than 90 seconds to go, but I thank you heartily. I appreciate you. I love you, my listening audience. This is John C. Abercrombie, and the program is Did You Know? Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.
Have a good day. Later.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons to save on your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Kroger makes it easy to save while you shop, whether it's in-store or online, so you get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big on your next purchase. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.